It's time for WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to WFO Radio. Joe Costello in the house. We're going WFO with a little NHRA drag racing this weekend. That's right, Lucas Oil Raceway. And we got another week of WFO for you, starting off with NHRA's Alan Reinhardt, who will be joining us just seconds from now as we get all hyped up for this weekend's action and just kind of keeping track of the stories out there in the NHRA since we last met, since we last spoke. John Force Racing has released a statement. We'll discuss that. Lots of stuff going on in the world as well. Alan Reinhardt will be joining us just seconds from now. Those of you out there who are longtime WFO radio listeners, we really appreciate you. Want to update you on a few things. Obviously, I am in the middle of a thunderstorm is what's happening. I don't know if you guys can hear that out there, but we were in a hurricane situation this past week. It went by us, but it's kind of up there in the North Carolina area, and we wish everybody well. Please be safe, all that. But you'd think it would have been beyond us, but we're being rocked by thunder and lightning at this moment. But the show must go on. So start a watch party. Who knows what will happen as we get rolling. I do want to thank our sponsors, the people who make it all possible, talking about folks like samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. The Massengill family over there really has created a pipeline for young people to become educated and get into the world of high-performance engine building, CNC machining, aerospace, all of these different places. You need to have a good, strong start, and Samtech can help you do that. Go to samtech.edu today to find out more information. Motorsport EFI Tuning, they're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill as well. Check them out, samtech.edu. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank Atlanta, that program that travels the country, they were in Bandimere last week, which is kind of cool. Got the program rolling and moving and smaller class sizes, but still the fun experience that you come to expect from FrankHawley.com. Learn to drive an alcohol funny car or an alcohol dragster. Maybe get your Super Comp or Super Gas license, even your bracket racers. There's something to learn from working with Frank Hawley, multi-time champ, one of the greatest of all time. Go to FrankHawley.com to find out more information. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Total Seal, new podcast out, Hidden Horsepower. But you can find all of that on the brand new TotalSeal.com. The Total Seal website has been revamped, brand new. I recommend everybody go to it like right now. Open a browser. You're watching on the web. You can open another browser. You'll still hear me talking. And check out the website, TotalSeal.com. Bookmark it, all you engine builders out there. You'll see that you can, you know, find their products and learn about their products, the tools that they have. Just second to none. Check them out, TotalSeal.com. And finally, Marvin Rodak, who has not been informed that this week he will be doing the first of his Rodax tailgate party, you know, how to do it episodes, where Marvin is going to come on the show and, you know, grill something up from his location. Hopefully we've discussed it in the past. And I spring things like this on people live on the air because that's, you know, think of how thrilling it is for him to know that he's going to be on the show on Thursday. Just like that. 817-924-6821. Coffee, hot sauce, spice rub. Giant Outdoor Kitchens. If you're down there in Texas, check out Marvin. He's got the best of the best. Marvin Rodak. And finally, free stuff for you. WFO Radio stickers, Castello Media/WFO stickers. P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084. You send me an envelope with a couple of stamps on it, all addressed out, ready to go, and I stuff in some stickers and send it down the road. Pretty cool stuff. And I do have an announcement I'm going to make about the WFO face coverings. The WFO face coverings are back in stock for those of you that want a WFO face covering. And we'll talk about that later, though, as now it is time to go out to the voice of the NHRA, who's getting ready to head back to Indianapolis this weekend for a little more NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing that will also feature Liberty Gears Mountain Motor Pro Stock, Mickey Thompson Top Fuel Harley, Pro Stock Motorcycle, Pro Modified. That's a full docket this weekend, Alan Reinhardt. How are you?
I am well, Joe. I am well. I just realized that I have a hoist post coming out of my head.
Yes, you do. It's just bursting right out of your head. You're like one of the Coneheads. But I, yeah, I, you know what? I like the way that you are re-engineering the guest position each week. You know, through your many years of broadcast, that the audience is bored by the last position you were in, clearly, because you were already there. We've got to come up with a new positioning every week, and we're just kind of slowly rotating around the shop. We were on the other side, now we're on this side. The car's getting all these different angles. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to be of service. I will tell you this. I do think that I have the coolest camera stand this week. And if anybody thinks they've got a cooler camera stand than me, let me know.
Okay. Well, how would we know what your camera stand is? I know you had a vice grip holding the last one. This is an improvement.
This time it's just propped up.
Okay.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, look at that. Whoa.
That is an AJPE Stage 7. Top fuel cylinder head.
Wow. Stage 7 as in the most up-to-date.
Correct.
Latest, greatest.
Correct.
That is awesome. And what are you going to do with shop talk tomorrow?
One more of those. And I got valves, I got pistons. I've actually been kicking around building a cackle motor. You know, I don't know that I'm going to go all Del Worsham and make a blender out of it. But,
right.
I've been kicking around just getting some used parts and, you know, a lot of the stuff gets cycled out over time that, you know, you wouldn't want to put it in Steve Torrance's car and try to go 330 miles an hour. But that doesn't mean you couldn't fire it up and shop every once in a while and just go womp womp. But I'm thinking about it.
Do you even really need to have two similar cylinder heads if you're going to do that?
Yeah, probably.
Do they both have to be stage 7? Could you have like a stage 6 and a stage 7? Listen, I'm just trying to make it easier and more bizarre.
Well, you know, the parts get cycled out fairly quickly, so I don't know that it would be. It definitely should match. I mean, it would.
Okay.
If nothing else, you know, the valve train stuff would be different. You know, they're trying to do a tune up if you got different size valves.
All right. So we've got people listening right now. They're out there watching right now. They should donate a cylinder head. And now, is that one yours? Yeah. Like, do you have it? You just need one more? Is that it?
This one is. It's one for my museum. There's nothing wrong with it other than it just had enough runs on it that it was cycled out. There's, you know, over so many heat cycles, even if it doesn't get blown up or chewed up or have a problem, they will cycle them out of service and just put new ones in because, you know, with what they're trying to do with these things, you're leaning on them pretty hard. So, it's the old classic thing. You know, you can change one of these things in an alcohol car, like every 15 runs or some guys will go 18 and you can go 15 seasons and never throw a rod, or you can run them until one breaks and then go, oh, well, okay, we probably ought to change them all now. And then while you're doing that, you know, you're welding up the block, fixing the rest of the stuff. So, but I keep talking myself out of it because I really don't need a cackle motor. I really don't have any place for it. Even if it was on a rolling stand, I really don't have room.
Well, the rickshaw is a rolling stand. If you want to do something super crazy, just don't ever drive it. But you could roll it around. The rolling stand.
If the rickshaw was to find a new home, then I'd have more incentive because then I would have at least a little bit of floor space that I could set this thing. But I don't know. I'm not going that direction. Let's just put it that way.
At the moment, that's cool. And listen, Alan, you know you should know this already. You have carte blanche. All the years here on WFO to, you know, just after our discussion to switch into sell the rickshaw on WFO mode. Maybe there is a person out there that wants to have something they saw on their screen, this amazing thing. They've got something they want to do with it. You never know. I'll give you an example. And this just happened yesterday. So this is a hot and fresh story. Not quite, you know, and it's not John Force Racing news. But years ago, Giovanni in Miami, my co-host on The Ignition Show, he's a sports collector, a collector about various things, and Ken Griffey Jr. came out on a Wheaties box. And so for some unknown reason, he saved a box of Wheaties. And he was like, man, I just felt like I should keep it sealed up and not throw it away. Now, he's not even a fan of Ken Griffey Jr. He just likes him as an athlete. You know, he'd save out the box. So obviously, Mrs. Giovanni eventually put her foot down and said, you got to throw away that box. Talking about 2015, maybe. So he kept it for like 19 years, this Wheaties box.
Okay.
And so I saw the box. I was like, what are you going to do with that box of Wheaties that's not opened? And he's like, I guess throw it away. I was like, no way, man. You can't throw that away. It's been a sealed box of Wheaties for 19 years. There's too much into it already. So I'll take the box of Wheaties. I'll figure out something to do with it. So it is sat in my house in a display situation for, you know, since like 2014, 2015. Well, finally, what we've been talking about a lot, throwing stuff away. I decided that's it. I'm getting rid of the Wheaties box. It's garbage. Throwing it away. So I couldn't do it. Couldn't throw it away. So I put it up on this website called OfferUp. It's like an app where you sell things that...
Right.
Somebody bought the Wheaties box. This thing's 24 years old, man. It was like 1996 or 1998. Bought the Wheaties box, $15. It's the slowest $15 I've ever made in my life. But I took literal garbage, if you will, and this guy is happy with it. He loved it. He was thrilled. He asked me if I had more. So the point is, the moral is, there's somebody who wants that rickshaw, Alan. They want it. They want it bad. We just got to find them.
Well, if somebody wants the rickshaw, you can send me an email, either announcer@nhra.com or alan@alanreinhart.com. I will make you a heck of a deal on it. It is one of a kind. It comes with the October 1970 Hot Rod magazine that featured it. And if you want to look it up before you get there, just find somebody that's got an October 1970 Hot Rod magazine. It's on page 100. And you can own Digger Berg's little T-rail is what he called it. Digger's T-rail is what he called it. The rickshaw. I will even throw in the personalized Arizona license plate that says rickshaw.
Wow. That is incredible. This is an amazing deal, all you WFO radio listeners out there. I have often thought this show would be great for, like, you know, live auction, moving and grooving stuff. So let's make the rickshaw the first thing that somebody calls and buys and get it on. You can own a piece of drag racing hot rodding history. Look, it's been owned by Alan Reinhart, the voice of the NHRA. It's just been owned by Roger and Karen Comstock, two very, very well-known NHRA drag racers. This thing has been in Hot Rod Magazine for gosh sakes. You've got
50 years ago.
50 years ago, you've got to get this thing. Reinhart will make you a screaming deal. And there you go.
See, the beauty of having it is when they have events like they had two years ago, out in Pomona, when it was Hot Rod's birthday. You remember that?
Yes.
And anybody that had a Hot Rod magazine car was welcome to bring the thing and display it.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got like an automatic invitation to stuff like that because that was a Hot Rod magazine car and always will be.
That is incredible. It's like it's a free pass into super VIP land. I love it.
Yeah, I did. Did you see, I posted on social media, did you see my latest rescue? Because, you know, I'm always out to rescue things.
No, I don't think I did. I can find
it. 1977 GMC Suburban.
What?
Been parked for 13 years and I rescued it.
You are moving and grooving, man. Talk about making, I like to think I've been busy during the COVID, but Alan Reinhart has done some crazy things. You're making it happen.
Well, I got to do something. I'm not very good at doing nothing. And if I sit around here, I'll start taking things apart that aren't broken. You know, I do have a couple of things I'd like to try on the Mustang, but I really, really don't want to take it apart. So I've been avoiding that so far. And it really is also, it's been too hot out here to drive it. So, you know, like if I went, okay, hey, let's check this, let's change this. Now let's drive it for a couple of days and see what we think. Well, you know, when you take a car with black vinyl interior, a black top, no air conditioning, and it's 113 degrees outside, that's not a good combination.
Right.
So I've been avoiding that, but.
That's not a good combination. Then, yeah. It's not a good combination. It's a bad and negative combination. All right. Now,
but
I know
normally this time of year, I'm gone someplace every week, so it really doesn't make any difference. You know, the shop basically sits empty, and when I come home, the shop cat gives me the, and just where the hell have you been, look.
Right.
And, you know, at this point, yeah, there it is, tucked back in the barn that I drug it out of. And then there's another shot of it on the trailer when I pulled it out, where it's all filthy. And
there it is.
There it is.
There it is. That is great. And this thing is, you know, it's Arizona, so there's no rust.
Correct.
I used to do those Menards Chevy shows for Masters Entertainment. We would go out to these Chevy shows, and Tucson was one of the places we went and had these vehicles, like the Suburbans, the old school Suburbans or, you know, large four-door pre-SUV, when we didn't know that an SUV was even a thing, make the coolest hot rods. You deck out the interior. Who's got a surfboard in the back, even though it's in Arizona? Really neat stuff.
Yeah, that thing's pretty cool. It's really clean inside also, and it's got the 70-30 fold-down rear seat. So if you fold the back seat down, it's like a soccer field in the back of the thing. But
yes, exactly.
It's pretty clean and in decent shape. And I'm going to make it run and drive again and then find it a new home, probably somewhere in the vicinity of Michigan and or Ohio.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, well, that's it. That's what the Southwest and the there's less rust and there's definitely less winter. So let's get into some of the news as we get ready for another race this weekend. This one breaking. It's like hot off the presses. The IndyCar series has just announced that the Indy 500 is going to run without fans. I am just checking out the story based on some of the things that our people have posted in the comments section. I am looking for, let's see, IndyCar. We're hoping to run the 100 world's most prestigious race. 50% crowd capacity was reduced to 25%. However, it was announced today, the August 23rd event rescheduled from its traditional Memorial Day weekend date would not be open to the public. And so there you go. That's a little bit of a, you know, a gut punch to IndyCar and the Indy 500 and overall the United States of America, and makes me appreciate the fact that we are kind of slowly just doing our thing with our fans at Lucas Oil Raceway, getting ready to go back and watch Nitro cars again this weekend.
Yeah, that's really a shame for the IndyCar crowd, and especially, you know, you got to feel for Roger Penske, right?
I mean,
the huge investment that he made buying not just the series, but also buying the facility. And I know that they've done some upgrades and done some things, and he was really looking forward to getting out there and showing it off. And I guess the fans will just have to wait another year. But now that's really too bad. We have been operating with a smaller percentage of fans in the stands, but, just kind of taking baby steps, I guess, if you will. And as we talked about a little bit, you know, last week or week before, you know, back to Indy again, because it's a very racer-friendly place. So many of the teams are based there, so that really helps out with their travel expenses. Because it would be a nightmare if everybody loaded up and went to, you know, whatever racetrack, it doesn't matter, Reading. And then once we got there, a local health inspector or somebody from the state came out and said, yeah, you know, we've changed our mind. This is a bad idea. You guys can't run this race. It would cost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. And right now, nobody's really in a position to do that. So, you know, being on track at Indy is at least something. We're getting some sponsors, some exposure. We're getting to have at least a few fans come out and join us. We're being on television, and we're just trying to be as safe and as careful as possible, hoping that we'll be able to, at some point in the not too distant future, take the show on the road. But in the meantime, we're, you know, trying to keep the industry moving along, even though it's not moving along quite as fast as we'd like it. And you know as well that in the business we're in, right, it's all about fast. But right now it's really all about just kind of baby steps.
It just makes me appreciate the freedom that we had previously, that we didn't even really consider all of these things. We'll get back to that. But right now, abundance of caution, obviously. I'm excited about this race weekend. So, and we'll get into it. Scott saying that Corey Mack back again. Very exciting that Corey Mack going to get another opportunity, because I think that was the negative of the first two races. Like, what was the big negative of the first two races? That Corey Mack just, you know, snake bitten a little bit with that car. You know they're going to get it. It just didn't work out in those first, four qualifying sessions they got over the two races. Hopefully he's going to be able to get in there and make the show.
Well, the fact that, you know, he came back to run those two events simply because he didn't feel good about the way that his retirement went the last time.
Yes.
You know, he wanted to come out and do something and make a little noise on Sunday and at least, you know, be a little bit bigger part of the show. But in those two races, he literally never staged a car on Sunday. You know, on the first Sunday, he did qualify the car. Was destined to wind up next to TJ Zizzo in round number one. And at the end of the burnout, the car went into neutral. So, you know, not only could they not back it up, but once a fuel car goes into neutral, there is no way on God's green earth to get that thing back in gear without shutting it off. And you just can't do that. So, you know, he never got to stage up there. And then, of course, the second week, they struggled, didn't qualify. So, you know, I think it's interesting that they're making the investment to go to St. Louis and to make some test runs and to make sure when they come back that they do have a little bit more of a comfort level and a comfort zone on that car. So hopefully he'll have a much better weekend. And I was also pretty surprised that Tony Schumacher didn't win around the competition either. He did, you know, at least qualify for both races. But he also never saw a win light on Sunday. And that was, surprising to me, I guess, just because you look at, you know, the caliber of driver that he is, we know. But we also know he's in great equipment and he's got, you know, some really smart guys over there working on the thing. It just didn't click for him.
Yeah, exactly. And just scanning the entry list, because I believe we've got 18 cars attempting to qualify, and Tony Schumacher is not one of them.
Yeah, that you know, the deal that they put together with Steven Samantha at Global Electronic was for the two races. You know, Corey is coming back, I think, because he really still feels like he's got something to prove. I don't think, you know, Tony's got anything to prove to anybody. They did what they wanted to do, come back, put an extra car on the track, and he was out there and, you know, at least had his name out in front of everybody for a couple of races. And I think now they're back to where they were before, and that is hoping that they can find somebody to join the team full-time going forward, you know, talking 2021 and on.
Hey, well, exactly. Keep things going, the license all current, everything ready to rock and roll this year. And no better indication than the John Force Racing news that came out at the end of last week. And now everyone has their answer. Let's spend a little time on that. I know that it's not what people want to hear, but John Force pretty much laid it out. And it has been the source of several opinion pieces and columns. And, you know, I spoke about it on the Ignition show. And just what John has made the call. John has made a decision that's best for him, for his company, the company he built, the partners that he has. We're never going to be able to be privy to all of that information unless, you know, John chooses to sit down and map it all out. I think he gave us a pretty strong indication of what was on his mind in his statement from John Force Racing. And that's it. You have to respect his decision for what is right for him. What did you think?
I agree. I think, you know, that there weren't any like staggering surprises. You know, John sat down and I think he was pretty candid about the fact that the reason, or one of the reasons, that it had been, you know, so long before word came out is because he and Robert and, you know, the rest of his team there were trying to figure out, is there a better way to do this? Is there a way we can salvage the season? Is there a way that we can get back on track, that we can provide some value for our sponsors, that we can do ourselves some good, without literally just, you know, running the ship into the ground? And he decided that the best thing to do was to take this year off, pull back, you know, kind of circle the wagons, I guess, and make sure that he's got everything in place so that he can come back in 2021 and go on. And I think part of it, you know, reading between the lines a little bit, I think part of it also was that he felt that he wasn't going to be able to provide the value for his sponsors that they're used to. You know, and it's not just about, you know, having a car on the track and doing stuff. It's about, you know, being able to have your customers in Seattle come out and be a part of the deal, being part of the hospitality, being part of, you know, doing whatever you do with your VIP people in Denver. You know, a big part of John's program in the hospitality is, as they travel around the country, having people from various parts of the country come out and be a part of the team for that weekend. And that's something that you simply can't do in Indianapolis, because not everybody's in Indianapolis,
right?
But I think that John sat down, I think that he and Robert, and I mean, you know, it's basically what he said, that they looked at every potential possibility and said, there's just no way that we can make this work, make it make sense, take good care of our sponsors. There's just no way we can do it. So the best thing to do is call a timeout and regroup everything. And hopefully by the time we get around to 2021, things will be back closer to normal. And, you know, you can kind of reset and start over again. And I know it's painful for him. I know that he loves being at the racetrack more than anything in the world. Now, how many drivers do you know that if they get beat first round on Sunday morning will call or send you a text in the semifinals and go, hey, dude, let me know what's happening, because
yeah,
they left.
Right. They're gone. They're...
And John at the semifinals will still have his fire suit on. You know, I mean, he's still up on a starting line, even if his cars are out. But he is just such a fan that, you know, he loves being at the racetrack more than anything. And I know it's killing him not being there, but he's got to do what he's got to do. You know, it took him 50 years to build a company, or 40 years to build a company. And he's got to look at, you know, what he's going to do to keep the company going. And you know, I know he hates it, but I also think that anybody that has ever run a business has had to make tough decisions from time to time, whether that is, you know, laying somebody off, or whether it's closing down a location, or whether it's whatever. But you look at the overall health of the company, and sometimes you just got to make hard choices. And I think that's exactly the position that John was in. And, you know, I hope that in 2021, we are back on tour and back on track, and he comes back out stronger than ever. And I certainly look forward to seeing him back at the track.
And the competition out there, there's only a couple of John Force models where someone came from just about nothing and got involved in drag racing and became uber successful with the drag racing program and the NHRA tour and the sponsorship as the generator of the money. Like, that's amazing and rare. I likened it to, you know, one of us going up to, a craps table and start rolling. Like, you got nothing and you start rolling and, you know, a couple hours later you're rolling and you're rolling, you're winning and you're, it's an amazing run that John has had over these decades. And he doesn't have a big industry behind him, you know, a giant air freight company like Coletta or Schumacher with the batteries in multiple industries, etc. He's a, you know, drag racing entertainment guy. He's got some other things that he's doing, but he's building those. It makes perfect sense to me that he might call a pause on this season. And, you know, we spoke with Wilkerson last week, and Wilk conveyed a lot of the same sentiment. Like, hey, man, this is good and we're doing it, but Levi Ray and Schaup and the hospitality and moving around the country and the interaction. He goes, that's why they do this. And so, you know, he texted me afterwards, everybody. Wilk was like, I hope I wasn't too negative. He's like, no, you weren't negative. You were real. That's a legit concern.
No, and I think that's a perfect example. You know, the average fan sitting in the stand is probably not a Levi Ray and Schaup customer. You know, what they do is information technology, big companies. I mean, just like huge stuff. Not, you know, hey, how can I fix my laptop? But a big part of that sponsorship for Tim is exactly what you said. Having clients who are all over the country have an opportunity to have a race car to root for all year long, but also a chance when the tour goes to Denver, for instance. I mean, Denver is one of the biggest events up there for LRS. They have a lot of companies in Denver that are customers, and they come out to the racetrack and they're in the hospitality and they get to be a part of the race team and they get to hang out. They get to, you know, meet, do the old meet and greet with Tim and, you know, go in and out of the trailer and look over the car and do all this stuff. And that's something that you can't do if you're landlocked in Indy, but that's what makes it work for Dick Levi, is that it is an entertainment venue for his customers. You know, instead of telling everybody, you know, okay, you know, all of my best salesmen were going to Acapulco this week, you know, and you get to come out and be a part of the race team once a year when the team is in your neck of the woods. So there are a lot of deals like that that are suffering right now because the tour is locked down in Indy. But at least the tour is still putting cars on the racetrack, putting cars on television, reminding everybody that, hey, we're still here, okay? We've scaled back a little bit, and we're doing some things differently, just like every other sport on the planet is right now. But we're still here, and it's important, I think, for NHRA to maintain that visibility, even if they have to do it in one location now.
Well, exactly, and it's a balance. There's always a balance, like this or that, and sometimes it's all bad choices. It's the best of the bad choices you got to make to forge forward. And right now, having this, and National Dragster just showed up today, the one with the column I was promoting last week. Hopefully everybody's an NHRA member, so you can read it about my experience watching these shows. Certainly, I'd much rather be on the starting line. I'd rather be hanging out with the racers, going on walking tours with the fans, sharing the passion for drag racing that we've developed over the years. But that's not viable. It's not viable. So what's next? What's the next best opportunity? Being active on social media, watching and retweeting and sharing what the teams are putting out, watching NHRA.TV this weekend. I'll be logged on bright and early whenever you come on. Feel free to promote that. And NHRA on Fox. And that's the next best way to enjoy the sport. Is it optimal? Like Brandon Bernstein was on our Happy Hour show with Courtney and Jason, and they suggested that, you know, it was kind of like a test, you know, it didn't really have that feel, but Courtney said PDRA feels like it always feels, and that's because of the fans. It's like we have this amazing fan experience that we always appreciated, but maybe we didn't understand how unique it was in drag racing. Now we know, and when the time comes that we can get back, we're going to really be going after it.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think that's a great way to put it is, you know, we have for so long taken, you know, the interaction with the fans and the accessibility that we've always had. You know, what you mentioned, the pit walk and the pit tour, and then, you know, the track walk and welcoming the fans to the winner's circle. And, you know, this year we just started the new deal where we would set the stage out literally on the racetrack for the winner's circle. And the fans would come out. We'd put the drivers up on the racetrack around it. I mean, it was a great program.
Yes.
And it's something that you don't get to do anyplace else. And I think that, you know, what we're going through now really drives home how special it always was, because, you know, I've been out there a long time and, you know, walking through the pits and seeing, you know, the fans all clustered around, you know, the back of whoever's trailer. It's normal. And being out there now with a reduced number of fans, and you really kind of get the sense, you know, I love walking through the doors on, you know, coming out Sunday morning and making fun of Jason Logan and doing my little bit up there is a great thing. It's a great interaction with the fans. And I don't know. Good old Jason.
I keep that one ready at all times, because that was this year, by the way. That was in Arizona. That's the hot list.
He's got a Triple A shirt on, didn't he?
Yeah. Maybe it was Pomona. Yeah, it was Pomona. There, but still, amazing.
And, you know, I don't want to say that I was taking that stuff for granted, because, you know, I every week appreciate the position that I'm in, that I get to go to the races every week, and that I get, you know, the job that I do is fantastic. But it really kind of drives it home now that that's not an option anymore. You know, when somebody came up, I don't remember it was Indy 1 or Indy 2, but somebody came up and wanted to give me something in the tower. And literally they like came up, not allowed in the tower. And so, you know, hey, you knock on the door, you hand it off, you pass it, and, you know, just not having the interaction to be able to tell the guy, thank you, to, you know, shake his hand, to sit and chat with him a little bit. It's just very different. And, you know, once we do get back, and I firmly believe that we will at some point in time, I think there's going to be a whole new appreciation on both sides of the fence, not only for, you know, the fans being able to come out and enjoy us in bigger numbers, but for us to be able to get out there and do all of those fan things. You know, I know for a fact, because I get, you know, notes and emails and stuff weekly, that they miss the track walk, you know, the opportunity to come down and do that. You can, to come out early on Sunday morning and take part in some of these various activities that, you know, you just don't get to do. You know, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody. I love Major League Baseball, but there is no way that they're going to say, okay, everybody come an hour early and run around the field, you know, and it just doesn't happen. So there's just so much of that is unique to NHRA. And I think I know for a fact for me, I am appreciating it much more now because it's not there. And when it comes back, it's going to be welcomed back. Believe me, it's going to be very strongly embraced by everybody.
All right. So let's talk about some of the action that's going down this weekend. Interesting storylines. Clearly, the Mellow Yellow Series is the pinnacle. We're going to have Division III divisional racing, as I understand it, for the you know, the sportsman side of things, as opposed to the Lucas Oil Series, I guess. It's Division III action. But in Top Fuel, the usual suspects, plus Kim Davidson, another drag boat racer. Going to be running, I guess, Jim Maroney's car. I'm not exactly sure, but from Texas, that's kind of cool. As the, you know, the privateers, Doug Foley going to be back in there. Terry Totten, Luigi Novelli, Kyle Wurzel, Pat Dakin, Lex Junes, Joe Morrison. If you're a privateer team, this is a golden opportunity for you to go to the same track in a couple of races and, you know, shake down, get an experience, and maybe qualify. Who knows? Go a round or two, depending on how the ladder falls out.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I also think the two qualifying sessions levels the field a little bit for everybody, because the teams that have the big budgets and the trailers full of parts that are going to go out there and run all four of them, it gives them a little bit more of a comfort level with a handle on a racetrack. And it certainly gives them more information, especially if we have, you know, similar weather days over the course of the entire weekend. So you can build an immediate database without having to go back and look at, okay, what did we do last time it was like this, or what did we do last year when we were here? But with only two qualifying runs, first, it jumbles the field up a little bit, because you got to be smart, you know, as opposed to how many times on Friday would you look at the qualifying sheet and go, oh, geez, you know, Robert Height's not qualified. And nobody's worried about that. He's got two more on Saturday. And you know that they were out there experimenting. And if they learned something, great. If they learned that this didn't work, well, that's still something that they learned that they're going to use at some point down the road. But now it's a matter of, you need to be careful, you need to be smart, you need to get your car on the field, but you don't have the intense comfort level, I think, with the racetrack and the conditions that some of them did before. And I think that's why we have seen some of the races we've seen, because you can't go up there and, you know, I don't care if you're Alan Johnson or Richard Hogan or Dickie Venables or whatever, you don't go up there now in round one, especially, you know, being Sunday morning early, we're just going, okay, let's set the track record because we've had four runs to figure out exactly what to do. You got to go up there now and be a little bit more conservative and be a little bit smarter getting down the racetrack. And that has definitely tightened up the racing some, especially on the top fuel side.
There you go. Yes, I think it opens the I would recommend three, though. Like if we're, you know, baseball is trying all this interesting stuff, right? Like extra innings, you start with a runner on second, and DH in both leagues. Like NASCAR has got a bunch of different things that they're doing. And this is the time to try stuff. I would say, like, if we're going to go with, like, less than four qualifying sessions in the future as an experiment or as the deal, I think two is too few. I think three, maybe three in a day might be worth trying down the road somewhere once everybody agrees. Because I just feel like two might have felt like too few, but three in a day seems doable. What say you? Like, is that possible?
I mean, sure, three in a day is doable. You know, four in a day is doable. That's what we do on Sunday.
Right.
You know, the winners have to go down the racetrack four times. The two thing, I think, serves a couple of purposes. It's one shot in each lane for everybody. And, you know, at racetracks where there is a difference lane to lane, then you inevitably would end up with, oh, Joe got two runs in the good lane and I got two runs in the bad lane.
Right.
But, you know, would it be worth discussing? You know, right now, I don't think that there's anything that's off the table. The only thing that I know of that was adamantly objected to and set aside without discussion was, can we race without fans? And that was an absolute no. Even though we don't have big numbers of them, we weren't going to go out and do that. But everything else has at least been open for discussion. And who knows? I mean, throw it on the table. Let's kick it around and let's see what happens.
Okay, Scott wanted to know if there's been any, from Indy officials, do we know of anything negative, and is attendance allowed to go up? I don't know the answer, but I wouldn't. What do you know?
I believe we're allowed 50% capacity in the stadium. Now, for the first couple of races, the west side of the stadium, what is, you know, normally the west side of the stadium where the return road comes back down alongside the racetrack, has not been open. You know, there might have been a couple of fans that wandered over there because it's kind of shady in the afternoon, but that side of the racetrack wasn't open. And we were keeping the number at a minimum simply because we wanted to go out and show everybody that, hey, look, we can do this. We can follow the rules. Everybody understands what's at stake here, and they're doing what they have to do. So now we are going to attempt this week at least to ramp that up a little bit. And even though NHRA was allowed to sell more tickets than they did, they made the decision that we need to keep this at a very comfortable, very controlled number just to get started. You know, the old soft launch, I guess, if you will. And now, you know, we're going to have many more race cars here with the Division III race being there. You know, this is going to be the first time that we've had a Lucas Series race run in conjunction. We've had a couple of other classes in conjunction with the first two Indy races. But this will be the first time that the other side of the racetrack is going to be open. This is going to be the first time that we've got as many trucks, trailers, racers, and things on the property as we're going to have this weekend. So we are ramping up. I don't know, you know, I don't know how many tickets have been sold. I don't know how many, but I believe that 50% capacity is the maximum we're allowed. And I don't think that NHRA is ready to go quite that far yet, but I know that we want to go farther than we have the last couple of times. We're just, you know, baby steps. We just want to keep moving forward at a controlled, safe pace. And, you know, adjust as needed.
There you go. Eric wants to know if you got a new computer or salvaged the old one from last week.
Both, actually.
Oh.
I immediately got on the phone and called my guy at PC Richard and had another one coming. And then I took mine to my computer guy here in town. And he said that the hard drive was the only thing that was damaged. The rest of it was fine, but when it took the dive. So my old computer now has a solid-state hard drive in it, and I also have a new one for a backup.
I love the solid-state hard drive, by the way. It doesn't spin, so the chances of breaking is less.
It's interesting, and you know me, all right?
Yeah.
Everything I know about computers, you could fit in a thimble, and there's still plenty of room left for your thumb. You're not going to have a problem there. But when I bought the computer, the one that hit the floor, the solid-state drive was an option. my computer guy, PC Richard, said, you know, hey, look, here's the deal. It's the newest. It's the latest thing. That it's better. I said, okay, well, what's better translate to dollar-wise? Like double. I mean, literally, the cost of the computer would have been double to get it with a solid-state hard drive. And I went, yeah, no, because I know my history with computers isn't good. So let's not go double. But when I took it in to get fixed, I told my computer guy, I said, if there's such a thing as an upgrade or an update or something, you know, let me know. And I actually explained it to him. I said, look, I said, I'm a car guy. I would much rather have 800 horsepower and only need 600 than to have 400 horsepower and wish I had 600.
Right. That's it. That's the methodology. Simple
but
as that.
When he said that the hard drive needed to be replaced, and I said, you know, is there such a thing as an upgrade? And he said, well, we can do a solid state. And I, you know, literally like, oh, yeah, here we go again. I said, how much is that? And the difference was $100. And I said, for $100, do it.
Yeah.
So, and they were able to recover not all of my data, but some of it. During the recovery process is when the old hard drive finally just completely went.
Well, it knew you were replacing it, so of course it was going to respond negatively.
Yeah, I mean, it was damaged, but he told me originally that he felt pretty good that they'd be able to recover the data from it. And like I said, it didn't get all of it, but got some of it. Fortunately, I do have my my backup. I've got a external hard drive that I use for a backup, not quite as diligently as I probably should.
Right.
But over the years, I have taught myself that, you know, if you do this once every 6 months or once a year, that's better than never. So
yes.
That's, you know, kind of, so I have, I'm taking that with me to Indy, and one of the computer gurus there is going to help me, like, you know, reload and redo everything and all that. And I think I'm going to be okay. The new one, I haven't even taken out of the box yet. So.
And you got it from PC Richard & Son. Of course, they're racers. And I happen to have their audio jingle available, because that is a sound you hear at Yankee Stadium whenever the Yankees strike somebody out. And I always love the fact that PC Richard & Son is such a big sponsor of the New York Yankees. And what do they choose to do on their off weekends? They're drag racers.
Well, the CEO of the company actually comes out and races in the Lucas Series. And, you know, they're very heavily involved. They also, you know, they were for many years a big-time sponsor of Raceway Park in Englishtown. But they also, you know, a number of the Division I programs have got their name on them, and a number of the sportsman cars out there that they offer assistance to. So, you know what? If I got money to spend, I'm gonna spend it with people to support my sport. And, you know, PC Richard will ship to anywhere, literally. They were ready to ship me a computer to Africa one time. And I said, you know, I'm going to be back in Indy in 3 days. So I said, how about ship it to Vance and Hines, and I'll swing by there and pick it up when I get back to Indy. And so that's what we ended up doing. But, you know, at this point, if I'm going to go online and order something and have it shipped, I'd rather spend money with somebody that supports the sport. That's what I'm doing.
And that's it. That's the methodology for everything. Everybody needs to do that. Have you heard that WFO has sponsored? Yeah, okay. Talking about funny car now, just thinking about guys who have been pretty strong. Clearly, the DSR cars have been pretty strong. But I got my eye on Paul Lee. Good performances. The win lights weren't there, but I think at any given moment, that could be a breakout.
Yeah, Paul Lee's got a good car right now. Tim Wilkerson's got a good car right now. You know, somebody, though, is going to have to show me that they can stop the Schumacher Dodgers. Right now, they are just running roughshod. You know, Bob Tasca's got a great car right now. But until somebody other than a DSR car leaves with a trophy, they are the favorites in my mind, and they're going to continue to be.
Moore's Law states the number of transistors on a microchip doubles about every 2 years, though the cost of computers is halved. In 1965, Gordon E. Moore. Yeah, well, it's amazing how things get better and better, but also get cheaper and cheaper. I would love for that to continue and also happen in other aspects of our lives, not just computers.
Well, you know, amazingly enough, I have been made fun of a lot over the years.
Period.
For my dinosaur
phone. Oh, I thought you said just period.
But nobody has ever made fun of me for a dinosaur computer.
Right.
And the reason for that is because my computers don't live long enough to become dinosaurs. The phones oftentimes do.
Right. Well, who was I talking to? 2 weeks ago, we had Zizzo on, and we're having all kinds of problems. And I never even thought to ask him what model, what kind of phone do you have? iPhone. Okay. and it's not working. The thing is not working. This is not working. And finally, I was like, he did a bunch of stuff, and he got it working. And I was like, so what was the problem? He goes, oh, I switched to my, so-and-so's iPhone. They got a new one. I go, which one do you have? He goes, I think it's like a 2. Like, what? Are you kidding me? He had an antiquated iPhone, and that was the problem. So, yes, phones need to stay up to date. All right, in action this weekend also, Pro Stock, the late edition, but we got Pro Stock, we got Pro Stock Motorcycle, we got Pro Modified, we got Mountain Motor Pro Stock, we got Mickey Thompson Top Fuel Harley. So if you're going to go to an event, if you're in the area and you can get in, this race has every go fast category that there really is. Mountain Motor Pro Stock, Pro Mod, Pro Stock, Pro Stock Motorcycle, Mickey Thompson Top Fuel Harley. If this was an event, just period, it would be an unbelievable event.
Yeah, the only thing that they don't have is the Factory Stock Showdown. The Samtec Factory Stock Showdown is the only thing that's not. But because it is a Division III regional race, and you know, anybody that follows closely knows that when the Lucas Series runs in conjunction with the Mellow Yellow Series at the national events, they rotate categories here and there. They don't normally have everybody there, but they always have everybody there when it is a division race. And this is a division race that's running in conjunction. So Alcohol Funny Car, Alcohol Dragster, Vortec Top Sportsman, Vortec Top Dragster, Competition Eliminator, Super Stock, Stock, Super Comp, Super Gas, Super Street, all going to be there, because that's all of the categories that normally would run in a division race. And this is, for the division competitors, a division race. So the only thing that's not on the menu is Factory Stock Showdown. Somebody sent me a note the other day and said, you know, when's the last time we did all this? And I think Gainesville, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's going to be a great day of competition. Of course, we'll be watching on NHRA.TV. And regarding Factory Stock Showdown, there have been some rules changes over there. And people are a little, you know, fired up about it. We'll see exactly what happens with the next race. We'll be putting out a podcast. But very challenging situation, keeping those cars equal as possible.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm certainly glad that I'm not the guy that has to make those decisions week in and week out. But it's, you know, the combinations are so different, especially the Ford being so different from the other two. And the new Dodges haven't hit the racetrack yet. So once we see the 2020 version of the Mopar drag pack thing, that may kick some changes in as well, because, everybody that runs, you know, the DSR cars over there were very disappointed that they didn't have them in time to start the season, simply because they know that they're going to be better than what they've got. So even though, you know, both the cars qualified and both the cars certainly, you know, showed well, talking about Mark Kowak and Leah Pruitt, they know that they've got a new car coming as well. And that's just going to add to the juggling act, I think.
And on that, this is a reason, if you are a viewer at this exact second, why you cannot cherry pick WFO for based on the headline or the title. You've got to watch, because you just don't know what's going to happen. It's not the kind of thing where you can guarantee all the news or information you're going to get. It's a little bit old school in that. And so I reached out to Ned and got a quote from Ned about the rules change, which I will share with you right now, since it is, you know, current and news. The Factory Stock Showdown Rules Committee is always committed to parity amongst all manufacturers and combinations participating in the category. Other than safety, it is truly the biggest topic the Factory Stock Showdown Rules Committee seeks. 800 to 7.90 has been and continues to be the number where we feel most comfortable, as we do not want to get any closer to the chassis restriction of 7.50 seconds. That said, the parity amongst all brands and combinations is what we are seeking. Ned Wallace, our VP of competition at the National Hot Rod Association. And so that is like a little update to the rules announcement they made in the middle of last week that kind of infuriated the Ford camp and angered some people. But it's pretty clear they're sticking to their guns as to why and what they're hoping to achieve.
No, and I understand it. Like I say, it's a difficult position to be in. You know, if you go out and you bust your butt and you work and you spend a bunch of money and you do a bunch of stuff, and then you find an advantage, there's sometimes when it feels like, you know, what am I working for? They're just going to take it away from me. But keeping all three of the manufacturers involved is very important. And we've seen the pendulum swing back and forth, right? I mean, there was a time when everybody was screaming, you got to do something with the Dodgers. You got to do something with the Dodgers. And then the next thing was, oh, well, the Chevys have gotten all the rules are in their favor and we can't do anything with the Chevy. And now it's simply just come around, I think, to where it's, you know, it's Ford's turn, that there needs to be an adjustment made there. And so adjustments are going to continue to be made as they are mandated. And it's just, it's a very difficult position to be in if you're the one that has to make those decisions. I said, I'm glad that it's not me that has to make them, but I understand it completely. And it's, you know, it's exactly the same in the funny car ranks. And I know that you've spent enough time in the pits that, you know, every time somebody comes out with a new body, right?
Yes.
When John brought the new Mustangs out, it's like, oh, they threw the rule book away. Look, he was allowed to just do whatever. And then when the new Dodges came out, oh, look at those things. Those, they're not even close to legal. I mean, you know, measure this, check that. The last time there was a Toyota update, it's exactly the same thing. Everybody, oh, no, those guys, you know. And that's just the way racing is always going to be. If there's somebody that is perceived to have an advantage, then there are going to be those chirping about it. And when you're the one that has the advantage, perceived or not, well, you think you should be allowed to keep it.
Yes.
And when you're the one that is at a disadvantage, well, then you want somebody to step up and make this right. And that's just that's the way racing has been since the beginning of time, I think.
Well, exactly. And, you know, last week you shared this these photos with us of that Cammer engine in the gasser that you guys located and that you were helpful to. And I knew of the Cammer and that it had a place in drag racing, but I took the opportunity to go back, and we actually included a very in-detailed Hot Rod Magazine article with the link of the show because I found it to be very informative, and how it was an interesting design, 90 days, the whole thing, but then the drag racers, you know, NASCAR banned it, and the drag racers ended up with it, and all the people that kind of improved upon it. Ed Pink, who we just did a podcast for Total Seal, was one of them. And the links in the chain, like the things that he did was chromoly links in the chain and all of these different things. So that jogged my, you know, curiosity to this new, the Coyote engine they're using in the factory stock showdown, which is a similar situation with a big chain and dual overhead cams and the four valves per cylinder. And the fact that it's it can rev so much more efficiently than a pushrod engine. And it was a kind of a miracle that now with our modern technology, just what you're talking about with the phone and the computer, they go back to this old design and they're like, let's see if the materials that we have now can handle this. And they have designed an engine that is off the charts.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the old school Cammer is a single overhead cam. That's, you know, with sock.
Right.
Two valves per cylinder. But yeah, at the time that it came out, it was like such off the wall, out of this world thinking. And, you know, they ran fairly well for a while. Connie was very involved in that. He was a part of the factory Ford team back then. And a lot of the early Bounty Hunter cars were Cammers. I've had the conversation with him a couple of times. It's like, come on, you got to have, you know, some parts like hidden away in a corner back somewhere. I got rid of all that junk 50 years ago. And, oh, what it would be worth today. Not that Connie needs the money, but I wouldn't mind having some of that stuff. But no, that's, you know, there's so much of that stuff that the factory comes up with an idea, and because they've got the budget, you know, and back in the day, nobody had the budget to do that other than the factories, right? Nobody would have had the budget to make the Chrysler Hemi other than the factory. But then once the factories do it and the hot rodders get a hold of it, it's like, okay, what can we do with this now? And then the evolution really takes off from there, because what the factories are trying to do is build something that they can mass produce, even if it's on a smaller scale like the Cammer was. And what the hot rodders are trying to do is figure out, how can I make this one better than every other one?
Simple as that. Pro stock, the points, I'm jumping around a little bit, but that's such is life. Folks, Pro Stock added to this in terms of the points lead. I can't help but think that everybody wants to leave every race as the points leader for an even more considerable reason this year. We've talked about retirement grudge match, Jeg and Jason, Erica in the mix, Bo going to be doing double duty this weekend, heading over to the Pro Mod pits back and forth, Pro Stock, Pro Mod. That'll be interesting test of skill for Bo, who always loves to race. And we've reached out to Bo. Bo's going to be on the show on Thursday, 4 o'clock.
You know what? Everybody's done that Pro Mod Pro Stock thing. I mean, come on, Bo. Think a little outside the box, right? I mean, Alex Laughlin's done it. Eric has done it.
Yep.
Richard Freeman's. I mean, that's old hat. What they need to do is when Ricky Smith's back gets better, then put him back in a Pro Stock car. Now, that would be a news story.
I like it.
It should be. I believe there's 22 or 23 cars for the E3 Pro Modified Series. So that is going to be a war. Two qualifying sessions with six or seven or eight cars knowing they're going home, you better not mess up on Q1 or you will have your back firmly against the wall.
Yeah, that is going to be crazy. And the way the first race went, you know, in terms of weather conditions, if it's similar, then the nitrous car is going to be in a good spot. And got to say, welcome to the we haven't officially started the whole season yet, right? Mountain Motor Pro Stock. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is their first race, the season debut.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's going to be fun seeing those guys back, too. They look like kind of the old school Pro Stockers, really. You know, the big hood scoop sticking off the top of them and you know, the 800-plus cubic inch motors under the hood. They sound a little different, but the competition level is going to be right up there. I think, you know, DeFlorian obviously is going to be one of the favorites to watch over there. But it's just good to have them in action. I was talking a lot last Wednesday on the Shop Talk show with Brian. It's like, if you are a Door Slammer fan, tell me where else you could go and see NHRA Pro Stock, Mountain Motor Pro Stock, and Pro Modified all on the same track on the same day. You know, that just doesn't happen, and you're going to have an opportunity to do that. And, you know, if you like Nitro, yeah, we'll have a few of those too. But if you're a Door Slammer fan, I'm telling you. And then, you know, you throw in the Nitro Harleys as well as the Pro Stock Harleys, and we've got pretty much something for everybody out there. It should be a good weekend.
Yes.
Just give us good weather. We'll take it from
there. Oh, my gosh. Well, weather has factored into, like, every race all year long, so I'm sure it'll be around. Mon Nature just announcing her presence, but we got to get through. Great job, Alan. All right, so we stick to drag racing mostly. And I like to think that when we do deviate from drag racing, it's for a good reason. So this morning, people may or may not have been keeping up with the news, but there was a explosion in Beirut, Lebanon that they did not, at the time, I have not heard as to why. I heard somebody said that there was fireworks storage, like, who knows? And it doesn't even matter, because the video of said explosion, for someone who is into, like, we're drag racers, explosions are part of life, right? When you see an explosion, and I've got this thing brought up, Alan, and the first thing Alan said to me, he goes, did you see the explosion? So we're going to watch this explosion. This is from Twitter, on the Twitter feed, and there's a couple of views, but this is the one. It's all, the fire is already raging, and this thing is about to go up. And the thing that impresses the heck out of me is the shockwave that comes at us. Now, look around. This is a very, you know, we got buildings. We've got kind of a port atmosphere here. This is as big as I can get it. Can I make it bigger? Let's see. One moment, please. Learn how to fly the plane, Joe. Nah, it's almost not worth it. I'd rather see Alan's reaction to this massive explosion coming down in 3, 2. Like, look at that. It's frozen right there. Twitter is frozen. I'm taxing my computer. But that is insane.
That's the same angle that I saw. And I thought the same thing. It's like, you know, the first thing you think is, wow, just, you know, thoughts to everybody there.
Oh,
you know, there's got to be, you know, people that have gotten hurt or people that have gotten killed. It's just, it's awful. The video is incredible. But you just hate to see anything. It's just, yeah. Watch it over. And it's still just as stunning.
It's stunning. Like, the force, the power, you think of, like, weapons and ordnances, but like that is, you know, I don't want to characterize it as accidental just yet, but that is a massive, just to see the shockwave of energy roll over, you know, on video. And everybody now has a high definition digital camera where they can take a video and share it around the world and literally seconds. We haven't really seen a lot of those. That was, you know, spectacular in the most negative of ways.
Yeah, I agree. Just want to send, you know, best wishes to everybody over there. And, you know, obviously they've got a lot of work to do. And I'm sure this will be one of those situations that once it's over, it kind of brings out the best in humanity, you know, and everybody jumps in and pitches in and wants to help. So, you know, just keep our fingers crossed and send our best thoughts over there. I know that they're dealing with some very difficult stuff right now.
Yes, absolutely. Eric wants to know if you're announcing Thursday and Friday or just the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll be there all four.
He's the guy.
Playing tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. And I'm leaning on Evan to try to get back there, trying to twist his arm. We'll see. I haven't given out his personal email address yet. Maybe that's an idea. All right, where's this rickshaw? Is that right? It's right over your shoulder. Is that it? Sell us the rickshaw, Alan. Let's end on this note.
Okay, well, this was built by a hot rodder back in late 69, early 1970, a guy by the name of Dick Berg.
Not a lot to it.
Nope. He was an old front engine dragster guy, and he wanted to build a streetcar that looked kind of like the front engine dragsters of the day. So this is what he came up with. The interior is a little sparse.
Right. Just like a tea bucket.
Yeah. And I've got some stuff sitting on the back here, but trust me when I tell you, underneath there is a Corvair six-cylinder and a Power Glide.
Okay. So it's this thing will start up. Will it go?
Yeah, it's an actual running, driving car. Now, it's got air conditioning, okay? If it's hot, you just open this up a little bit.
Oh, what an amazing feature.
That'll put some more air in your lap. And then what is really the fun thing is if you ever have to park it, and you know how difficult it can be to squeeze into a parking space.
Yes, of course.
You can just do this.
Vertical. You can just kind of hang it up.
Where you need to.
Like a mountain bike.
It's actually kind of funny. When I take it to car shows pretty regularly, or used to. And somebody told me one time, I took to a Christmas car show, and somebody said, hey, that thing looks a little like Santa's sleigh. And I thought, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. So then there's this one little kid. I mean, couldn't have been, I don't know, 4 years old, maybe. Just great big eyes. And I said, do you want to sit in it? And she, like, hides behind her dad. And I said, no, it's okay. And she's, like, looking at her dad. And so I picked her up, and I put her in it. So she's standing on the seat, holding on to the wheel. And I mean, just like loving life, right? And I said, do you want to do a wheelie? And she like looked at her dad and she looked at me and I said, no, it's okay. I said, just hold on. We're going to do a wheelie. And I walked up and I picked the front end of it up. And she, of course, does it. It was the funniest thing. And then I had a line of kids that wanted to come over and wanted to sit in it and wanted to do a wheelie and wanted to, but it's definitely an attention getting car and it can be yours.
It can be yours. All you people out there, it can be yours. Just email Alan Reinhardt at the following email address for all you WFO radio listeners. We're not shipping it overseas or anything.
I'll ship it overseas wherever you want it.
There it is. We're selling the rickshaw on the show, Alan. Like, that would make me feel good. Like, we contributed a little back to Wild West Engineering. So somebody buy that thing. Give them a call. Come on.
Yeah.
And really, it's the kind of thing that should be passed around, right? Like the Comstocks had it for a while. They enjoyed it. You've had it for a while. You've enjoyed it. And now it's time for someone new.
That sounds like a great idea to me. Now, I will, like, just full disclosure, if you're thinking about taking this thing on a cross-country trip, that might not be, you know, your best plan. But it would be a great parade car. It would be a fun show car, and I promise you it will attract attention anywhere you go.
Yes, exactly. Tell Alan you'll buy it if he drives it to South Florida. Not happening. Alan, great job as usual. Really appreciate it. Very excited about the weekend. Like I don't want to say it's sad because it's not sad. It's good. But how connected to drag racing our lives are, and to know that there's going to be a great event to be enjoying Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in terms of Mellow Yellow Series action here and there. Very exciting. Looking forward to it. Qualifying on Saturday. Final elimination Sunday morning. Hey, what time is final elimination Sunday morning? Is it going to be a super early deal again? Or?
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it's 9 or 9:30. Check NHRA.com and they'll have it. But if I'm not mistaken, our TV window is dictating that we've got to be done 3:30 somewhere in that neighborhood. But double check with NHRA.com. They'll have that. And as far as I know, tickets are still available. So if you're in Indianapolis, you can call the racetrack directly. Or if you're anyplace else, you can hit them up online. Or you can go to NHRA.com and come out and join us. We'd love to have you. But it's going to be good to see the Lucas cars back on track with the Mellow Yellow cars, even though it's technically not a national event for them. But it's going to be good to see basically, you know, all of the classes back in the same place. And as we talked about earlier, we do mean all the classes.
There you go. And so let's see, Scott says 10 a.m. We'll double check that. No offense, Scott. Unkifer out there who helped us kill about 20 minutes last week. We had Kunkel on the show. Did you know that, Alan? We, you know, you mentioned we talked about it on Tuesday. We reached out to him. James was on the show. And Unk popped on a little bit to kind of bridge the gap between Wilkerson and James. And he was just over the moon. Like, the guy was super happy and feeling blessed. It was a really good deal. Let's see if he keeps it going.
Yeah, he should be. I look forward to seeing him. And I'm assuming that he will be in Indy. But you know what? When you have a weekend like that, you should be over the moon, especially when you do it the way he did. So I'm glad I actually had saw that you reached out to him. I haven't had time to listen to it yet, but maybe I'll do that on the airplane tomorrow. But I'm gonna have a little time to kill there.
There you go. Well, enjoy, stay safe, be good, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Joe. Announcer at NHRA.com, and you can own a rickshaw.
You're going to buy this car. Somebody out there, we got to have the, you know, good cop, bad cop thing. So you're good cop, and I'm going to be bad cop. You're going to buy this car, you people out there. You're going to buy it. Do it now. All right, Alan, thank you. There we go.
Thanks, Joe. Talk soon.
NHRA's Alan Reinhart with us here on WFO. And if you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you Hugh Honey and Vic Vinegar, the good cop, bad cop real estate agents. Are you going to buy this house? Are you going to buy this house? Right? It was one of the funniest things ever. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of my favorites. But I probably shouldn't tell you that. It's probably not the kind of thing that you guys need to know, because it is off-the-wall humor. All right, everybody, got some interesting stuff. Want to drop on you before we bounce on out of here. Another great show. Really appreciate you guys, WFO Radio listeners. Do want to tell you, though, the WFO Radio face coverings are now back in stock. Right. And I've encouraged everyone, you know, the Nitro Fish trailer is out at the track to pick up a WFO Radio t-shirt. And I do not think that they have the face coverings. They do not have the face coverings just yet. I got to reach out to Randy, Lynn, and Bo and make sure that they have some of them. They were directly shipped to the WFO Radio studios where I have them. I have the face coverings. And so here's the deal. If you're interested in a WFO face covering, what we have decided after running the gamut and checking out all the different face coverings that are available from Major League Baseball, the NFL, all, you know, drag racing, NASCAR, we have put a with shipping included number of $10. Now, why are we doing that to you? Well, because we want to try to make a little money and make this thing worthwhile and keep going. And so if you're interested, what we'll do is we'll just turn them around on PayPal or Zelle. Like, you send me an email, I fire off a PayPal request, and then I send it to you. Shipping included. For $10, you get a WFO Radio face covering and rep the show out there. Now, what is the deal with this? Because I've been doing a whole lot of research on these face coverings, and here's the deal. You cannot have enough of them, number one. Number two, there needs to be one in every one of your vehicles, right? Like, oh, I got to go into this place that has the requirement, right? Simple as that. Boom, got it. And so multiple around. How about one of them be the WFO Radio face covering so you can rep the show when you go to the racetrack or go to your friend's mechanic shop or wherever you're going? And we think the number $10 is fair, right? We've got people on Patreon. Of course, they pay for the show. They got them for free. But that's because they're Patreons, and Patreons get all kinds of benefits. Patreon.com/WFO Radio, because these people want to pay for the show. Why? To help the show. Let's check out final comments. Everybody get your final comments up in the comment section, and I will run down the final comments a few at a time. But first, Marvin Rodak. Marvin, attention, Marvin. I'd like you on the show on Thursday. Marvin is a grillmeister from Texas. Yeah, we're hawking the coffee all the time, the hot sauces and the spice rub, everything good. But Marvin is an interesting character, and some of the coolest things that I have seen was at the live events down there at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, watching him grill, going through the experience. And I was referencing on the Ignition show, Mr. Food, remember him? Ooh, it's so good, Mr. Food, one of the first celebrity television chefs. And Marvin could be that guy. He's been on the Big Bad Barbecue Battle. And so we're going to try to get Marvin on Thursday. Will we have a happy hour show this week? Probably not. Probably not a happy hour show on Friday. Will we have a show on Friday? We're still dialing it all in, probably. So who knows what it will turn into. But 817-924-6821. That's the number. Marvin Rodak, doing great work, really helping out WFO for a long time. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings. If you're building an engine during this period, everybody is staying busy. If you're building an engine, if you're an engine builder, if you're a stock eliminator racer, if you happen to have a Formula One team, Total Seal Piston Rings can help you find that hidden horsepower. And it starts with a phone call to Keith Jones over there and tell him you heard about it on WFO Radio. TotalSeal.com, they got a brand new website, which is in a browser off to the side right now. Load it up, TotalSeal.com. And that's where you can hear that brand new episode of the Hidden Horsepower podcast with Ed Pink, the old master. And it's very interesting in that all the different projects that Ed was in. And the best part of it for me as a Pink's Hot Dog junkie is that his uncle is Pink from Pink's Hot Dogs. So very successful family right there. Check out Hidden Horsepower by going to TotalSeal.com, the brand new website. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, and classes. They were out in Bandimir, traveling the country, smaller class sizes, doing it right. Frank and Lana, big supporters of WFO, tell them you heard about it on WFO Radio, and samtech.edu. And I had reached out to Ned Walliser, the vice president of competition at the NHRA, for that quote about Factory Stock Showdown for the next episode of Factory Stock Podcast. But I'm not really going to sit on breaking news like that. Ned sent me the quote, and you guys were the first to hear it. What does it all mean for Factory Stock Showdown? There's a riff that has gone on right now. You have to understand there's a lot going on. Drew Skillman has been extremely vocal that what they want the category to be. And they want it to be a pure performance category where you buy the car and you put your racer knowledge into it. And what does that mean? It typically means take the car completely apart or build it from scratch and do your racer knowledgeable stuff to it. Whereas NHRA and their version of the category, I think they want it to be 790 to 80 and maybe a little more gentleman racer. Does that make sense to you? Gentleman racer, where me and my dad and maybe our best friends get together and we buy one of these cars and do some work to it, but not a fully deconstructed rebuild from what it was at the factory and go out and race and feel like we're competitive. And so what has happened is the category has diverged from those two, from that mantra, and it is kind of going in the direction of pro stock, which it's just a pure performance racer category, guys, you know, going to the nines with it. And you got Chris Holbrook running 176 miles per hour, and obviously Drew and his dad, incredible. Bo Butner's going to know a lot about this, by the way. We'll speak with Bo about this on Thursday, because Bo did not run the first Factory Stock Showdown race. But it's just very interesting in that, you know, where is this class going to go, and is it possible to maintain the class with multiple visions? NMCA is involved in it. They've got a different vision, factory supercars. It's just very interesting, the racer mentality and what happens with certain things. So you're going to want to subscribe to Factory Stock Podcast to keep up with all of that. I, of course, am WFO Joe. I would love for you to follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. I pop out a lot of good stuff. Instagram's more personal. Twitter is more retweets. But really, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, you're missing out. The Ignition Show, somebody early on in the show said that the Ignition Show was fantastic, and I think it was. Humor will go into certain areas that we don't necessarily go here because it's the Ignition Show. YouTube, subscribe, click the bell. WFO Radio TV is the YouTube channel. WFO Radio TV, you can see all the happy hour shows, Beer with Selzy, Wine Night with Ron Tobler, the Lagana Brothers, Miami Hollywood Speedway Reunion, Courtney and Jason. We had Brandon Bernstein on the show on Friday. It was great stuff. You should go check it out. It's great for a laugh. It's fun. It's relaxing. WFO Radio t-shirts. I know you want to buy one at Indy this weekend, and I highly recommend it. The 10-year anniversary WFO Radio t-shirt, the podfather of drag racing. Get it at the track. If you're not going to be like at the track.
Concrete, that
what is that?
Last wave, if you like, traveling outwards. And then as it hits the...
Look at that. Somebody, I have clicked on something.
It also
I have clicked on something. I'll go over here. Yeah, there it is. The explosions. Something is going. We've got explosions. Overpowering. Over the competition, I'm towering. And now I have... So we're having a literal explosion here.
Everything from, you know, blast lung where the vital organs are actually...
And that's what it was. Yeah. See, things just going to go sideways when you're trying to play something off Twitter. But if you haven't seen that explosion from multiple angles, you definitely should. Stop screen share. I could have saved all of that with one click, and instead I clicked everything else. Let's hear what the final comments are. It was all just a stall. Corey Savoy out there. Hey, Joe, for Big Indy, no racing on Labor Day itself. That is my understanding. No racing on Labor Day itself. Let's see. Scott, Nitro Elimination 1, 10 a.m. I like it. Makes me feel all West Coast. Get up early. Take care of some business. Put on NHRA.TV. Dive in. Watch a couple of rounds. And then go to the Fox show. And watch them both, of course. Promod E1, 11:40 a.m. Thank you, Scott, for going on there. Kathy is out there. Great show, Joe, except for that end part. But we got to hear the sound of an explosion, which is always good. Let's see. Wrigleyville Bum. Is it possible to just keep running as many races in Indy as possible? For you people who don't get NHRA National Dragster, you really should become an NHRA member. I endorse it. I'm a member. And I get to write a column in there. And my most recent one, Totally Immersed, is about exactly this. Talks about how on these race weekends, and we're thinking about doing something on Saturday. I'm considering. Randy Linship and Courtney Enders have suggested that they could be our WFO radio roving reporters at the track on Saturday, maybe in between sessions. But I don't know, because I think people are invested. They're watching NHRA.TV, but maybe we pop something out on WFO this week in between sessions or something and see what kind of a number it gets. We want to grow. We're trying to grow the show. We're trying to bring on people, like our Facebook page, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Jerron Settles, who was on the show a few weeks ago, is convinced that something on the WFO Radio Facebook page is limiting us, that he tried to share the show, it's not sharing, that he tried to tag people, it wouldn't let him tag. I have spent literally hours diving into my Facebook page to see if some toggle is toggled that's preventing the show from being limited. I'll tell you now, I have suspected Facebook of limiting some of our broadcasts for a long time for reasons unknown. I'll give you a couple of examples. We stream to YouTube, and we stream to Twitter, and we stream to Twitch, and into our Facebook group and on our Facebook page all at the same time. If you're Facebook, you know that. Maybe they limit our broadcasts. Maybe we should only go to Facebook at once. Or maybe we should say the heck with Facebook and just go to YouTube alone. But anyway, so Jerron was having trouble sharing the show. And so now I'm at a loss. I've exhausted my level of knowledge and expertise. We've been doing these shows for over 10 years, going out there, doing a lot of promotion. And our numbers, like, I feel like the restrictor plate is on the show. And it's very possible that the restrictor plate is on the show. There's all kinds of algorithms back there. So maybe we do something on Saturday and everybody goes into it with the understanding we're going to try to beat the algorithm. I would appreciate that. Let's see. Jalen and his beautiful bride, who always say what's up to me at the national events, except we don't. Did you go racing over the weekend? Sorry, I missed the beginning of the show. Racing was canceled for me this past weekend because of Hurricane Isaias. Or East Isis, or the hurricane that was out there. They canceled the race, so I did not go. I did get the brake rotors cut on my Cadillac, though, and so I'm super excited about that. I don't think I answered this guy's question. Yes, the answer is yes. This is not an NHRA opinion. It's my opinion. Run as many races as you have to at Lucas Oil Raceway. You got Colts fans that come in for 8 regular season games every year to watch their football team go back and forth with an oblong ball through a big yellow H. They love it. Why can't drag racing fans support an event 8 to 10 times at Lucas Oil Raceway with the understanding that is the only way to do it? I would think that drag racing fans would love the opportunity. I can tell you if there was a track here in town, Palm Beach is my local track. It's an hour and 15 minutes away. And, you know, is that a short drive? Is it a long drive? It depends on where you live and what you're used to. If there were Nitro cars there every weekend for the next five weekends, I think I'd be there every weekend. Why would you not? If this is the only way that we can do it, let's embrace it. That's all I'm saying. Now, NHRA might like they, I know for a fact, they still have the plan to run the races at places that they can run. It's still the plan. If we haven't gotten there, like think of all the events that are on the schedule, not just drag racing, but everything in your life that you appreciate. Nobody is taking anything off the schedule 2 months out. They're not going to do it because they're hopeful. They're going to wait. They're going to hope. Is there a vaccine? Is there a cure? Do people realize? Are they all going to go out and get the WFO radio face covering and do the right thing finally? And crush the numbers. We just don't know. There's no reason to take anything off the schedule. But as, like we learned with Heartland Park a couple of weeks ago, that it was not viable at that event, guess what? Indy is viable. Is Indy viable? As long as Indy is viable and welcomed and part of the community, you are putting the show on television. And I could go on and on and on. And I'll tell you, because I'm kind of going on here because I'm having fun doing the show since the explosion thing. I'm having fun doing the show right now. We could do Q&A all day. This is what I'm used to doing, four-hour shows. But that's not what we're going to do right here. But my belief about the drag racing show that comes on is our greatest method to bring in new viewers. And based on NHRA's investment over the past 5 years, they agree. So if you're a drag racer with a drag race car, and there's a race and it can be on TV and you don't have to go anywhere, but to your local track, you got to try to make that happen. And I think that's what NHRA is doing. And as local communities around the country experience flare-ups or decreases in the virus, the facts on the ground and the local elected officials will make decisions as to whether or not we can do it. And it's viable. That's it. It's a simple thing. And in the meantime, be fortunate that you've got this home arena, Lucas Oil Raceway, the best of all the tracks, the one with the most history, right around the corner, where these teams can go and they can race and we can put on a show for the millions of drag racing fans around the country and the world who want to watch on NHRA.TV, stay relevant. For the racers and race teams who have invested a lot of money in equipment and have sponsors that they can figure out how to make it work. It doesn't take a genius to realize, obviously, the hospitality might not be viable, but there's a lot of things you can do with Zoom, with what I'm doing. Like you can hire WFO Radio to host a live in your pit stream for all your people in the middle of the country, wherever they happen to be. Like there's millions of things that can be done. My dad was a Marine Corps drill instructor. I was raised more than anything, Marine Corps. And improvise, adapt, overcome is it. So we have been dealt an unfortunate circumstance. What are we going to do? Are we going to fetal position and roll up into a ball and whine and complain and wish it away? It's not going away, people. This is it. We're dealing with it. We're going to improvise, we're going to adapt, and we're going to overcome. And we're going to figure out how to run races where there's the possibility to run races until there's no possibility to run races as best as we can, keeping people as safe as is possible and abiding by the rules set forth by the local elected officials in our great democracy. That's it. And where you live, it might be different. Where I live, it's very different. I'm a little north of where it's worst. So a long answer to a short question. Yes. And if at the end of the season, we had run the overwhelming majority of the races at Lucas Oil Raceway, but the fans were entertained. A new audience was built. Some new fans became interested. The sponsors got something. I'd call it a win. I think the worst case scenario is to just cede the territory to NASCAR, to Major League Baseball, to street outlaws, to TV shows, whatever. I don't believe in ceding territory, giving up. It's not in the vocabulary, giving up, not doing it, not trying. You got to try. And that's what NHRA is doing. They're trying. And I appreciate it. Let's see. These are the final thoughts now. Dale Renner, $10 is a steal. Thank you, Dale. Thank you. You know, I always assume that nobody wants to pay for anything in the world, because it's true. I have others, but the WFO one was the most comfortable and breathes the best. Wow, that's not been in my talking points at all. Plus, you get a lot of questions about it for those that want to do it. He's talking about WFO Radio face coverings, folks. Joe@WFOradio.com. You email me directly. Joe@WFOradio.com. Email me directly. I'll send you a PayPal request. I'll take your address and I will mail this to you and maybe throw in some WFO Radio stickers. Of course, I'll throw in some WFO Radio stickers. This one's a little late. Mr. Food was a cool dude. Yeah. Ooh, it's so good. Well, you're going to get all kinds of references on this show. I'm not about one thing. Ignition Podcast was great this week. Do they listen, Scott? Do they even know? It's audio only, no video. I agree with Drew. Why try to make an IROC race out of it? It's a super high dollar class anyway. It's a very strong, debatable point. I like the idea of seeing these cars run 750. I like the idea of seeing them run 740. Wow. I like the idea of seeing them run 720. Like, what can they do? That's the amazing part of drag racing. And the sad thing is that technology has advanced so much that the, wow, what is possible question has pretty much been answered. Anything? It's just how much money do you want to drop into it? And so an old school race fan like myself and maybe you, Jim, we got to realize that anything is possible with money. And there are other elements that are involved in the sport that have to be considered, like hurdle to participation. You've got these factory cars and you want people to buy them because they feel like they can maybe compete with. Not the car is already $100,000. So, you know, I don't know how much money you got kicking around out there. But if I got $100,000 sitting around, I don't know. Maybe I would invest it or I would gamble it or I try to turn it into twice as much. You got to be a special kind of person to be able to go out and get a hobby car, which God love you. I appreciate it. I love watching this sport for that reason. But we've got two different conflicting issues going on at the same time. And who's going to win out? We don't know. Factory Stock Podcast, subscribe on Apple Podcast, SoundCloud, and Spotify, and we're going to try to get to the bottom. I can tell you that the Ford guys are not happy. And it makes perfect sense. You've got this amazing engine that's capable of amazing things, and they're just pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. And everything you ask it to do, it does, except, you know, every once in a while you blow one up and you got to, you know, you got to spend a bunch of money to do it. But it's, they want to go faster. And Drew will be the first to tell you. And Drew Skillman is so straight shooter on Factory Stock Podcast. He lays it out. I want to go faster. You know, very critical of the restriction of technology is really what he's about. He's about the advancement of technology. And it's hard to go against that. And this guy mentions with the IROC series. And then again, your Dodge and your Chevrolet, and you got a pushrod V8, and it's a different technology and a different thing, and it's only capable of X. What do you want? You really want to tell Chevrolet and Dodge, who are involved right now, you want to tell them, yeah, dude, you're never going to win. You're never going to win. Never going to win. And what happens then? What happens to the class? And this is a very critical time also for all performance automobiles. Very critical time. Eric, great show again. Thank you. Kathy. The explosion was crazy, especially how it kept replaying over and over again out of nowhere here on WFO. But yes, go check it out. Thanks, that changes flight plans. Corey Savoie, if you change a flight plan based on something you hear on WFO, you crazy. Go to the website, man. Got her national dragster yesterday. Yes, me too. That would be cool. Love the ladies. Pick a platform and I'll be there. That's great. Maybe we should do one platform at a time. Like YouTube only. Jason Logan has started doing that with What Does Joey Know Show. Let's see what else. Baba Graham, use time wisely. Learn grilling tips before racing resumes. Yeah, we're going to get Marvin on here. And finally, Indy makes sense. It makes sense. It's just the way it is. It just makes sense. Assuming there's no alternative. And that's the big caveat to the whole thing. Assuming there's no alternative. And if there is no other alternative and you're faced with don't race or race in Indy, the answer is race in Indy. Get as many races in as you can and pitch it. Like sell a super ticket, sell a season ticket for all Indy races, you know, for $400. And whenever we open the gates at Indy, you can be there for the rest of the year. Like come up with something. By the way, I do not work for NHRA and my musings on the show are my opinions alone and not the opinions of anybody else for that matter. The 9-inch tires are somewhat equalizer. No, they're not. Not anymore. These guys have figured out the 9-inch wide tire, I think. It's definitely power management, but so is top fuel. So the top fuel tire is... it's too narrow for the amount of power that they have. And so it's about power management. But at certain points, there's no substitute for horsepower. And so the back end of the track, the Ford's Thunder down there, 176 miles per hour, and the race is over. And if you go back and watch Aaron Stanfield, and I think it was against Chris Holbrook, Aaron Stanfield had like an 019 and Chris was like 060 and Aaron had about a car and just got freight trained on the big end. Now, I'm not sticking up for any certain manufacturer. I'm just saying like that you got a challenge. And I don't think that the 9-inch tire is the equalizer that everybody wants it to be. Jeanette, when are you racing? Come on now. All right, everybody. Remember, joe@wforadio.com. Send those emails immediately if you want the face covering for $10. That includes shipping, and I'll throw some stickers in there for you. Follow me. Subscribe. Click. Purchase. That's the mantra on WFO Radio. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Stuck it out with you guys for like an extra 30 minutes after Reinhardt busted out because you guys were very active with your comments. And I've got nothing better to do. It's a joke. All right, later on this week, Thursday, Bo Butner, Marvin Rodak, and we're working on a Friday show as well. All right, everybody, see you next time right here on WFO Radio. And if you're looking for more something fun, check out the Ignition Podcast in the podcast archive. See you later. WFO.
WFO! This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to top alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan, and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. We're talking gourmet coffee. We're talking hot sauces. We're talking spice rubs. We're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s. Figured out that life is better with great coffee. And oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit them up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
This is WFO Radio.